This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Nespresso, bringing you the perfect blend of global market analysis and insights.
BFM 89.9, good morning. It's 7:08, Wednesday, November the 10th. To tell us where global markets might be heading today, we speak to Jack Cruzy, Director for Strategy at VFS Group. Jack, I want to talk to you about Tesla. You know, it has erased $199 billion in the last 2 days. Are you still, are you a bull on this stock, or are you rethinking about it, especially when you know Elon Musk makes critical decisions based on Twitter polls?
Oh, God bless Elon, eh? It's tough to follow him sometimes. I'll let you know, it's raining here, and my biggest concern about staying in a hotel is the buffet not being open. They've closed them all here.
Oh, my goodness.
The breakfast buffet, which is my favorite thing to do. I think this is a buying opportunity, and there's a couple of reasons why. Tesla dominates this market. It's Tesla and the rest. But I think it's in the margins that Tesla can start to improve and get that bottom line up. What do I mean by this? You know, unlike other car companies that are coming to the market, they're building their factories from the ground up, you know, Giga Shanghai, Giga Berlin, Giga Texas, which means they're going to be able to improve or reduce the costs in the production of their cars and improve those margins. And I think there's a lot of upside in that company when we look at those margins improvements that they'll have because of, you know, the gigafactories that they've built. I'll give you an example. In the next few months, they'll be able to build a whole chassis from one piece of material, which will allow them to reduce that cost. So I think, you know, there's improvement in that. The other thing that I think they're going to see a lot of benefit from is if they can do it, and I believe they can, it's hard to doubt them. If they can start to build in, sorry, that's my team's going off. If they can start to build in a $20,000 or $15,000 to $20,000 car, they can really start to hit that Indian market. I know that's a key thing that they want to do. So, look, it's tough with Elon. You know, he has done a lot to bringing this company to where it is, but I think this is a buying opportunity. Now, whether it is in the next couple of days, that's still to be questioned. But a long-term opportunity, I think it's Tesla and the rest, and you want to use these dip moments.
But it's expensive, you know, P/E ratio of 332, Jack. And I mean, unless you're like the brother like Kimball, where he sold the stock as he saw the Twitter poll, right, show that you should sell it. Is this really a long-term play?
Yeah, because this is the thing, right? So you've got to look at the number of electric vehicles that get sold globally as a portion of vehicles worldwide. And we're still at, 3.5 to 4%. Now we're moving towards the electric vehicle in a, you know, a really quick pace. And I understand that there's competition coming onto the market, but this is a superior product. It's got a superior brand. It's got a superior battery. It's got superior distribution networks, and it can start to produce cars faster, quicker, and cheaper than anyone in the market. And that's going to be a significant advantage and a tailwind for them, not for this year, not for next year, but I believe over the next 5 to 10 years. Then you want to talk about automation and the autonomous car. They're way out ahead. You know, it's not even a question or a debate on who's ahead. They are way out ahead. And if you believe that the autonomous car is going to come, and I'm a big believer in it, then, you know, it's Tesla and the rest. So you are paying this big PE, but there are significant tailwinds in this market that will continue to grow for them. And that's not including the battery tech, which I think will deviate as a stream of line of business for them away from just the car. So, yes.
Still a bull.
Still a bull.
Jack, I want to ask you about this recent US Fed financial stability report. They highlight rising price pressures as a key danger. You know, and of course, now the bad word is inflation. Now, how do you think this is going to impact investor sentiment, actually, even towards US tech companies like Tesla, which are trading at 300 over times PE?
Yeah, God, you guys, you know, I haven't been on for
We're Debbie Downers today, you know.
Yeah, I haven't been on for a couple of weeks. You're asking the tough questions. Let's just talk about inflation for a moment. Now, I reckon I came on, your show, I come on every 2 weeks, about 3 months ago, and I said, don't worry about inflation. It's going to be transitory. And Jerome Powell continues to use the word transitory, but you're kind of seeing Fed members thinking it's more persistent. And to be honest with you, it's been more stubborn and persistent than I've thought. I listened to Kathy Wood, which you probably already know, and she's a big believer in deflation. And she releases a monthly video on YouTube. And even she started to have a few buts. And she came up with a really good example. So John Deere is currently in a wage negotiation with the union there. And the union of John Deere rejected the wage price increase that the John Deere company was proposing to its workers. Now, here's the wage price increase for your listeners out there. 23% in the first year and 5% wow. each year after that for the remainder of the term of the contract. But they rejected it. Now, they obviously rejected it because they feel like they can probably get more. The October numbers of the jobs report was out of this world. So, look, it's been more persistent than it is, and that is, it's not necessarily spooking the market, which is the weird thing. I mean, we're at all-time highs. You know, tech companies have been up and down, but they continue to rally. So I still think as you start to ease these supply chain worries and we're starting to see some easement, you will start to see prices come down or at least start to restrain. But if you are a big believer in inflation and you believe it's going to be persistent, I don't believe there's going to be anywhere to hide or very little places to hide. I think we'll see a broad-based sell-off because interest rates will go up and that will affect everybody. Yeah, sure, the theory is it'll affect tech companies more because, you know, you're paying, you know, for those big multiples. But if inflation is persistent and it's rampant, like some people are saying, I think there's going to be very little places to hide. If I wanted to hide, I know I sound like a broken record, I'd still hide in mega cap tech. I'd still be there. Buckets load of cash, great growth. You know, valuations are okay compared to historical areas. You know, that's still where I'd want to be. But yeah, if it is persistent and if it is rampant, I think you're going to see, that's the biggest risk to the market. And if it's a sell-off, I think you're going to see a sell-off across the board.
So it doesn't really matter whether these companies have pricing power and are able to pass on rising costs to consumers. You think generally it's time to maybe retreat a little bit back from markets or almost all asset classes?
Yeah, I mean, pricing power only gets you so far. If people stop spending, they stop spending. You're right. That is a short-term factor you need to counter in. And yes, that would be a something you would look at, you know, to try to shield yourself if against it for the next 3 to 6 months. But pricing power only lasts so long when the consumer stops spending. And that's the fear with inflation. What your listeners need to understand is why don't we like rampant inflation? Because it reduces your spending power. You know, prices go up, consumers have less to spend because their money's worth less. What it also does, the worst thing about inflation and inflation that continues on, is it starts to stop people spending because they're worried about what prices will look like in 6 or 12 months or how much money they're going to have. So that's the biggest issue. It's the psychological effect on the consumer. And we all know that most modern economies in the world are consumer driven. You know, 60 to 70% of GDP is driven by the consumer. And if the consumer is worried, they simply stop spending. And that's when you get your cyclical effect into the economy.
So, Jake, just a quick one. I want to get your perspective now, just to shift topic now to China property, because now today is the deadline, right, for that $148 million $3 coupon bond due by Evergrande, right? And so there's a lot of question marks about their ability to pay for that. What are the repercussions to financial markets if they fail to make that payment?
Short term, I think, you know, you're going to see markets come off, definitely. Long term, I don't think they're massive repercussions. What we got to understand about Evergrande is, you know, the Chinese are coming in, you know, maybe not so loudly, but the, you know, PBOC and the central bank within China is injecting where it needs to and is trying to limit this contagion. So I think short term, you'll see some rockets in the market. This is not a Lehman Brothers crisis, in my opinion. They still got plenty of hard assets they can fall back on. And so often, and I think the Chinese, from a central point of view, want to ensure that bondholders, particularly domestic one and foreign ones, you know, there's been talk about the Chinese letting go or allowing the foreign ones to go by the wayside. They don't want that because they still rely on foreign direct investment to grow this economy and keep it going. So it'd be interesting to see. My opinion is they'll come through with the coupon payment, or at least there'll be an injection from the PBOC. In the general scheme of things, this is a sign of a maturation of the Chinese economy. You need to get rid of some of these bad sectors and these dirty areas of the Chinese economy, and this will only hold it in good stead going forward. So short term, it won't hurt, we won't help, but in the long term, I think they'll overcome this problem.
All right, thank you for your time. That was Jack Kuzi, Director for Strategy at VFS Group, giving his views on where global markets are heading. Sounding less like a bull, more like a little bit of a bear. I'm not sure a very big bear,
mini
but
bull, mini bull.
No, I think
bull.
It's more like a mini bear at the moment. And he referenced Cathie Wood in the conversation, and of course, she is the legendary fund manager who also runs the ARK Fund. Keep it here, BFM 89.9.
Nespresso starts your morning right together with the Morning Run, bringing you the perfect blend of global market insights with expert guests.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.